This week, Illinois Issues is focusing on the backstory of the state's budget impasse by highlighting two stories from the archives. The first came from reporter Brian Mackey. He and Illinois Issues editor Jamie Dunn join us now. Brian, tell us a little bit about this story, how it relates to the impasse.
Well, basically, my thesis in this story was that the impasse was largely about one thing, and that's that Governor Bruce Rauner wants to reduce the labor cost of government in Illinois. And in order to do that, it means reducing the power of labor unions, in particular AFSCME and SEIU. And my basic thesis here was that that was the main stumbling block when you boil away all the other politics and egos and issues, that was the main thing keeping Illinois from having a regular budget.
The fight over unions in the state is ideological, but it's also a political battle. How do politics factor in here?
Well, politics are important because unions support politicians. In Illinois, they used to support politicians of both parties, but Governor Rauner has tried to divorce Republicans from labor as much as he possibly can. So now unions are left with their traditional allies in the Democratic Party. And in a way, attacking the power of unions, it does reduce the cost of government, but it also reduces a key fundraising source for Democrats. And it's ironic that Governor Bruce Rauner, who comes in campaigning against special interests, railing against special interests, has driven Democrats further into the arms of this quote-unquote special interests. You know, House Speaker Michael Madigan has had problems with unions over the years. He's irritated them in a lot of ways, teachers' unions, by pushing through changes in the law that they didn't like and pushing through the big pension overhaul that state government unions certainly didn't like. But now they are closer than ever.
Yeah, Brian, I think that's a really good point. You know, even very recently, the Democrats were willing to do things that the unions really disliked. We remember Governor Pat Quinn getting protested at the state fair and lots of union members showing up and booing him, and it was pretty intense. And one of the things that Governor Bruce Rauner maybe didn't bargain for is that he came out so strongly with his turnaround agenda with kind of big demands, and that really just pushed Democrats into this binding sort of fighting against the governor with unions and really move them more towards unions.
Well, Brian, you did this story in the fall of last year. What has changed since then?
You know, in some ways, it's almost nothing has changed since then. Rauner has at times backed off from some of the more stridently anti-union planks in his platform, in his turnaround agenda. But, you know, Illinois still doesn't have a regular budget. And state employees and AFSCME are still working without a contract. The governor's team declared that negotiations had come to an impasse earlier this year, or at least wanted to declare that, and that is still pending before the state labor board. AFSCME and other state workers have been going without a contract since, almost a year and a half now. So in some ways, not much has changed about this.
One of the things I'd say that has changed is the perception of this. I think at this point it's sort of seen as common knowledge or you know, the prevailing perception of this fight is that the governor is really focused in on unions. But at the time of the story, it took reporters like Brian and some other folks who went back and looked into what the governor had said before he ran for office to sort of bring this idea forward and get folks looking into what some of the motivations might be behind this fight.
And let's take a listen now to that story Brian Mackey produced in October of last year.
In September 2012, the year before Bruce Rauner officially declared his candidacy for governor, he shared his vision for a crisis that could help reshape state government.
In Illinois, there's been a long time history of what I would call social service, social justice, a bigger role for government in a safety net than in many other states.
Rauner was speaking at a tax policy conference sponsored by the George W. Bush Institute.
I think we can drive a wedge issue in the Democratic Party on that topic and bring the folks who say, you know what, for our tax dollars, I'd rather help the disadvantaged, the handicapped, the elderly, the children in poverty. I'd rather have my tax dollars going to that than the SEIU or AFSCME, who are out there for their own interests.
3 years later, Rauner has lately been saying he's very unhappy Illinois is without a budget. But the governor was selective about what parts of state government he allowed to shut down. Elementary and high schools have been kept afloat. He signed that portion of the budget into law. Colleges and universities, on the other hand, have been cut out. Rauner went to court to make sure state employees kept getting paid, but social service agencies are without funding, resulting in service reductions and closures. That appears to be the early result of Rauner realizing his vision to conscript the disadvantaged into his battle against organized labor. Now, Democrats are being asked to choose social services or unions.
Well, I think that's a false choice.
State Representative Christian Mitchell is a Democrat from Chicago.
Look, I'm the grandson of a union steelworker. The only reason why I'm here in this position as being a state representative is because of that great job that my grandfather had.
There's an angle from which Mitchell might appear to be a persuadable Democrat. He voted against the wishes of labor on the big 2013 pension overhaul, and unions responded with a tough primary campaign that made him work to hang on to his seat in the next election. But Mitchell says under Rauner's proposals, unions are facing an existential threat.
We're not going to sell out the middle class, an institution that's been important to the middle class, in order to have the governor do something he says he wants to do anyway, which is be compassionate.
Democrats have been offering this critique of Rauner's agenda for months, calling it extreme and saying his policies would hurt the middle class. But beyond that ostensibly noble posture, Democrats also have a significant political stake in the strength of Illinois labor. Unions, especially government unions like SEIU and AFSCME, have given millions of dollars to Democratic candidates.
If you weaken organized labor, you weaken the Democratic Party.
Robert Bruno is a professor of labor relations at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. He says when some Republicans get elected to state government positions, they see unions, particularly government unions, as a continual source of opposition.
So sometimes it raises the question, is the target the actual union, or is the target the Democratic Party?
Rauner continues campaigning for his policies in every corner of Illinois. He even held a series of meetings with representatives of social service organizations back in August. Andrea Durbin, director of the Illinois Collaboration on Youth, was at one of those meetings. She says Rauner seemed to support the mission of groups she represents, which help at-risk kids. But without a state budget, social service groups are quickly running out of money.
We do feel like we're being pawns in a game that's not, it's not about us. You know, let's be clear, the fight that's out there is not about human services.
Which is precisely the scenario, the wedge issue, that Rauner envisioned 3 years ago. I'm Brian Mackey.
This week, our Illinois Issues in-depth report is taking a look at the backstory to the state's budget impasse. We're joined by Illinois Issues editor Jamie Dunn and NPR Illinois reporter Brian Mackey. Jamie, you wrote a story in the spring that focused on what the budget situation was like when Governor Rauner took office. Why is that important to the current crisis?
Well, when the governor took office, Illinois' budget was in a really bad way because the temporary tax increase that had passed in 2011 had started to step down, and nothing had really been done to address the revenue that was being lost there. It was over $1 billion in revenue, and Governor Pat Quinn and lawmakers just passed a budget that kind of ignored that reduction in revenue and put off the big decision until after the election. So when the governor took office, there was a lot to be done as far as kind of patching up that budget that had been passed before he took office. And then there was the big question of, how is this budget going to be balanced? What are we going to do about all this missing revenue? And because there was a need for figuring this out, the governor was kind of able to put some demands on that revenue. He was able to say, if you want a tax increase to balance the budget, Democrats, and some Republicans probably likely would like it as well, I want some things done, and here's my agenda. You know, let's start talking about this first.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember when the governor was still campaigning for office, people were saying, well, why would the Democrats do him the favor of passing, extending the tax increase or the higher tax rate now? Let's let him deal with it when he comes into office, because surely he'll have to deal with it. Little did we know that we could go for so long without dealing with it.
So what options did lawmakers have to bring the budget in line after the tax increase started to sunset?
Yeah, well, basically, they could have chosen to extend the tax increase, make it permanent, or cut, or probably both, because the budget situation is really that bad that it probably would have taken some new revenue and some cuts. And, you know, as Brian said, I think the prevailing thought among especially Democrats was that the governor would recognize this when he came into office. He would work with them on a bipartisan solution, and the Democrats wouldn't have to be the only ones kind of doing the heavy lifting on those difficult votes, as they had quite a bit in the recent past. But, of course, they maybe gambled wrong on that bet, because the governor did not, make the budget his top priority when he came into office.
This fight between Democrats and the governor, it's often portrayed as being about the budget. Is it really about that, and what might happen next?
Yeah, as Brian, you know, noted, the governor is saying that he wants to rein in costs by making some changes to the way public employee unions work with the state, and he thinks that that could help bring down costs. But folks who've done that analysis indicate that it would save some money, but it's not going to get us out of the budget hole that we're in right now. So it is about the budget a little, but not entirely. Brian, don't you think it's a little bit more about the fight over what unions' role is in governments than it is really about budget?
I mean, you're right in that fundamentally, we've heard House Speaker Madigan say it's going to take a combination of cuts and new taxes, new revenues, in order to balance the budget. We've heard Governor Bruce Rauner say it's going to take cuts, and he's open to new revenue to balance the budget. So really, the point of difference between them is everything else. It's the massive spending on campaigns. It's the attacks. It's this guy has driven Illinois into a ditch, and this guy wants to ruin the middle class, and all the sort of political battles that we've had in the time that we've been suffering.
Well, that's not to say that once they get down to the business of making a budget, there won't be fights. I'm sure that there will be, because it's going to be, as I said, pretty difficult. You know, tax increase somewhere and cuts, neither of those things are popular. So there will be a fight over that. It's just not this fight.
And I'm still not convinced that they're actually going to get down to making a budget. There's an assumption there that I think remains to be seen.
That's also definitely a possibility and something folks think is possible, that the state will just limp along with these stopgap measures for perhaps years.
Let's hear that story that Jamie produced. It first aired in May.
Last month, Democratic House Speaker Michael Madigan stood in his chamber and delivered a speech on his perspective of the state's budget impasse.
Over the last 13 months, compromise has been very difficult to achieve. Never before has the state gone this long without a budget. Every other governor that I have worked with has negotiated with the General Assembly in good faith to help the people of Illinois and to ensure that the people of our state did not needlessly suffer. The fact is, the current budget crisis was completely avoidable. While this crisis was avoidable, Governor Rauner has refused to put an end to the crisis.
The speaker is correct. This was avoidable. Many, including Madigan, are pointing the finger at Republican Governor Bruce Rauner for tying budget negotiations to his turnaround agenda. But this crisis could have been prevented long before he took office. To understand the current situation, we have to go back to 2011. That's when lawmakers passed a temporary tax increase and Governor Pat Quinn signed it into law.
The reason that tax increase was fought for by advocates and eventually passed and enacted was to prevent exactly this crisis that we're having now.
That's Emily Miller. She lobbies for social services with the group Voices for Illinois Children.
Unfortunately, because of the failure to extend that temporary tax increase, we had a 25% tax cut, which reduced the available revenue for things like social services, education, higher education. And that's why we're in the mess that we're in right now.
Not long after the tax hike was in place, credit rating agencies began warning Illinois politicians to make a plan for when the higher rates would start to step down in 2015. Kent Redfield, a retired political science professor at the University of Illinois, says politics won out over making tough choices.
It was pretty clear, given the state's debt, given what normal spending added up to, if we let that temporary tax increase expire, that we were just going to go off the cliff again. But rather than bite the bullet before the general election, the legislature essentially took a pass.
When lawmakers put together the budget for fiscal year 2015, they faced a more than $1 billion drop in revenue. They also faced an election in November.
And so you could get a political calculus that said, we'll leave this hanging, and then certainly whoever gets elected, you know, is going to be able to see that we need more revenue. They'll have to negotiate with us to get more revenue. It turned out to be exactly the opposite. In fact, the governor has been trying to leverage the need for more revenue to try and get policy changes that he wanted. And so it was clearly a miscalculation in terms of how this might play out.
If the governor was able to take hostages close to Democrats' hearts, in the form of funding for social services and higher education, it's because they played a lead role in putting those entities in peril. Democrats had controlled both chambers of the legislature and the governor's office, but they'd failed to protect social services, either by extending the tax increase or cutting elsewhere to free up money. It's no surprise Democrats weren't in a hurry to do all the heavy lifting on a tax vote again. No Republicans voted in favor of the 2011 increase, yet many in their districts benefited from the revenue. In Democrats' eyes, they'd gotten all the reward with none of the political risk. If Democrat Pat Quinn won the 2014 governor's race, Democrats could take the vote after the election. If Rauner won, why bail him out? After Rauner did win, he asked lawmakers not to take a tax vote. He also soon made it clear that addressing the mismatch between revenues and spending in the state was not his top priority. Miller, with Voices for Illinois Children, says she's been disappointed by all the finger-pointing.
One of the most devastating things about this crisis is that it was absolutely preventable and that everyone knew it was coming. And now that we're here, nobody seems to want to take responsibility for it.
Reporting for Illinois Issues, I'm Jamie Dunn.